I'm going to start out with a little testimony. It's amazing. We had a lady come out here the other day with breast cancer. And I shared with her that breast cancer was unforgiveness toward a female. And she had the unforgiveness. She repented. God cleaned up the deal. And I guaranteed her now she was healed in the name of Jesus. She did not have to go back in for her surgery. But she went anyway. And they cut into her breast, and guess what? Nothing there. Not a sign of nothing there. So, you know, I mean, I'm going to make mention of something here that I think we watch too much television. I mean, all of us, even Christians, I think most of us watch too much television because, you know, when you watch television, you know, they'll tell you we have this new capsule and we give you two or three or four good reasons why you should take our capsule. You know, it's wonderful. But then on the backside of the bottle, they give you 20 reasons why you shouldn't take it. And of course, I stand in awe of some of the things I have seen, some of the medications, you know, that I've read what the side effects were. And some of them is like, you know, this is good for whatever, but it causes heart attacks in some people. And so you think, wow. Or what I read one day, I was really amazed at. I read this article on the back of a bottle of pills, and it says, you know, this is supposedly good for this and this and this, but make sure you don't go anywhere because while you're taking it, it can cause explosive diarrhea. I thought, why in the world would anybody take this kind of stuff? You know, I just don't understand. But yet, the church, we are being programmed and trained the wrong way. I mean, you know, they are training us to take their medication. And as many of you have heard me say a lot of times, as the church, who is our head? The Lord Jesus. Was he the healer when he walked on this earth 2,000 years ago? Yes. I mean, did he heal more people than anybody ever? Yes. Well, I mean, he says he's the same yesterday, today, and forever, but he's looking for faith. And we don't have a lot of it in the church. And so by not having that faith, what we do anytime something happens to us, I don't care what it might be, we remember the commercial we saw on television. And so we go look for that medication. Instead of saying, okay, Lord, what did I do that didn't please you that brought this upon me? That's not something we've been trained to do. Not even in church have we been trained to do that, or in most churches. Now, there's some churches, a few, that are teaching this, but not a lot. And in fact, I was amazed the other day that when this couple came out here and they worked at a healing room in a church, big church here in the Metroplex. And written in their bylaws, it is illegal for you to mention that sin might be the cause of their sickness. They don't want to hear that. And they said, you might offend somebody, and you will not say that their sin could be what's causing their problem. So that couple brought a woman out here from that church which had cancer. And I confronted her with it that it's unforgiveness. You got a sin in your life, girl, and you got to get rid of it. Well, whenever she heard that, and she repented of her sin, and we prayed for her. Guess what happened? She got healed. Isn't that amazing? Isn't that amazing? So I stand in awe to think that God is here today in this church. But he's not only here in this church, he's here in every church. And I would hate to be the pastor that would not tell you the truth about what's in his word. I'm going to show you some reasons why we're having the problems we're having in this country. Without God, none of us can do nothing. I mean, I can't even take a breath without God, and you can't either. He is running the show, folks. We need to glorify him and praise him and worship him and thank him because that's what he wants us to do. This scripture come to my heart in 1 Kings 14, verses 7 through 20. I want to read that to you out of the NLT, and I want to show you something. What happened? There's nothing new under the sun. Y'all know that? What has happened will happen again. There's nothing new. Solomon tells us nothing. So 1 Kings 14, verses 7 through 20. 1 Kings 14, 7 through 20. Give your husband, Jeroboam, this message from the Lord, the God of Israel. I promoted you from the ranks of the common people and made you ruler over my people Israel. I ripped the kingdom away from the family of David and gave it to you. Now, God did this. This is a message from the Lord. But you have not been like my servant David, who obeyed my commands and followed me with all his heart and always did whatever I wanted him to do. You have done more evil than all who lived before you. You have made other gods and have made me furious with your gold calves. And since you have turned your back on me, I will bring disaster on your dynasty and kill all your sons. It don't sound too good, does it? I mean, if this was some fly-by-night cowboy talking, I wouldn't be too concerned. But this is God. This is God talking. I will bring disaster on your dynasty, and I will kill all your sons, slave or free alike. I will burn up your royal dynasty as one burns up trash until it is all gone. Does this sound like the king might be just a little bit ticked off? You think he don't like this particular administration? I believe this is going to bring judgment. What did God just say he's going to do? He's going to bring disaster upon the whole dynasty. Is that what he said? Wow. And he says, and I will kill all your sons. Somebody says, but you know, God, we're in the age of grace. God don't do that anymore. Oh, yes, he does. He definitely does. Yeah, we are in the age of grace. If it wasn't for his grace, it would none of us be here today. We'd already all be dead. He would have killed every one of us because we're not walking in obedience to his word. Now then, it says, I will bring disaster on your dynasty, and I will kill all your sons, slave or free alike. I will burn up your royal dynasty as one burns up trash until it is all gone. Verse 11 and 12. I, the Lord, vow that the members of your family who die in the city will be eaten by dogs, and those who die in the field will be eaten by vultures. I don't know about you, but I'm getting a general idea that God is not too happy with this dynasty. Do you see that? Then Ahijah said to Jeroboam's wife, go on home, and when you enter the city, the child will die. She had a little child, a little bitty one. And even the child is going to pay the consequence. Verse 13 and 14. All Israel will mourn for him and will bury him. He is the only member of your family who will have a proper burial, for this child is the only good thing that the Lord, the God of Israel, sees in the entire family of Joram. How would you like to have a family that the only thing God saw good in it was the last little baby that was born to you? I think that's sad. That's not going to be the case in my house. As far as me and my house, we're going to walk in obedience to God's word. I'm going to be in his house. I'm going to be loving him. I'm going to be praising him. I'm going to be worshiping him. And there ain't no voice or power on this earth that can stop me from praising and worshiping my God. I love him. I praise him. I am not afraid of nobody but him. Not afraid of nobody else. But I am afraid of God. And I'm going to walk in obedience to his word. I'm going to do what he says. Just think, this king and his disobedience, because of his wickedness, is going to cause this problem with not only him, but it's going to cause death and destruction to his entire family. All of them are going to die. And just think, the ones that die in the city are going to be eaten by the dogs. The ones that die in the country are going to be eaten by the vultures. They ain't even going to get a funeral. The vultures are going to eat them. This one little child. Reckon this little child hadn't done anything wrong? Couldn't have. He's too little. So but God said he's the only good thing in your family, but because of your wickedness, your child is going to die. The child didn't have nothing to say about it. You know, today, I am so grateful that these same principles apply today that did then, but at least today we have the blood of Christ, and we have Galatians 3, 13, and 14, where Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law. If we confess our sin and claim the redemption from the curse because of Jesus Christ, we don't have to die with the rest of them. We can walk in obedience to his word and be blessed during this whole destruction of this entire dynasty. And I believe that's going to happen. I mean, it don't look good. But don't forget, he's talking to the church that's disobedient and the world that's disobedient. He is not talking to the obedient church in the destruction. He's talking about our being blessed if we're obedient. So which way do you want it? Do you want to be obedient and be blessed? Yes, I'll take that part too. I guarantee. It says, and the Lord will raise up a king over Israel who will destroy the family of Jeroboam. This will happen today, even now. So, you know, when God makes a statement like that, he can change something real quick, can't he? I don't know where we are in this country as far as this judgment is concerned. I don't know. But I do know we're a wicked nation. You know, the whole thing about it is it doesn't make any difference how prepared we are. If we're not serving God, you can take a 10-foot giant with the best swords and best shields there is and a little ruddy 13-year-old kid come in with a slingshot, and if God's on his side, he's going to kill that giant. You know, so you can be the giant, which we are as a nation. I want you to think about America. First of all, think about how they're trying to tear down America. And I want you to think about the men and women that have fought for this country. I've had some uncles and so forth that have fought for this country, and some of them died for this country. And I think about the men that went to war. Of course, I went to Vietnam myself and to Korea. But I think about the men that fought for this country. And many of them come back alive. Many of them didn't. But when I see us go in and defend these countries, it doesn't matter who it was. And we've defended many all over the world. When we leave, how much of their land do we take with us? Isn't that amazing how we never take nothing? I will have to say, we take a little. We take a few little square feet for each soldier that died that we bury there. You know, there's some humongous graveyards in France and England, places that we keep up that thousands of men died, our men, and they're buried on foreign soil. You know, we buried them there. So that's the only ground we took up is the graveyard where we buried those brave men that fought for this country. Except for the glory of God and the grace of God and the mercy of God, you and I could be in those graves.
You have been listening to Thurman Scrivner of the Living Savior Ministries. We are going to stop here for today, but we will return on our next scheduled broadcast with more teaching. If you would like today's broadcast in its entirety, entitled Praise Him for Trials and Tests, or you would like any other Living Savior Ministries teaching on CD or DVD, we will be happy to send them to you free and postpaid. You can contact the Living Savior Ministries at 940-242-2106. That's area code 940-242-2106. You can also listen to any of the Living Savior Ministries teachings online or order them free and postpaid by going to the Living Savior Ministries website at www.tlsm.org. That's www.tlsm.org. Praise the Lord Jesus.